Welcome to the March 2009 edition of Judd's New England Journal, the rather curious monthly musings of Judson Ayle, the editor-in-chief of Yankee magazine, published since 1935 in Dublin, New Hampshire. Six women I know in every New England town. No doubt you know them too. Everybody does. Now, stereotyping people is out these days, and rightly so. But sometimes I can't help doing it. For instance, here's how I would describe six particular women I've known all my life. I'll label them, one, the force, the do-gooder, the good cook, the gossip, the voice, and, last but not least, that woman. Okay, here goes. The force. The force, always a woman and always a native. Her blessing is absolutely crucial to the success of most any church, school, or town organizational project. She never speaks out at meetings, and in private speaks out only to her most intimate friends. Since the opinions she expresses, even privately, are always in the negative, any project about which she's failed to utter a single word is considered to have her heartfelt support. You know, how her considerable power in the community is derived has always been a mystery to me. Okay, next, the do-gooder. The do-gooder is a wealthy, elderly woman who has waged a lifelong crusade against cruelty to animals. Once suggested, this is back in the 60s, that a black be invited to speak on integration as part of the Thursday afternoon lecture series at The Club. And occasionally holds a seminar at her mansion for the purpose of, quote, breaking down the silly barriers between the summer people and the townspeople, unquote. The seminars, incidentally, always result in stimulating and lively discourses among the summer people present. There are, of course, no townspeople there. The good cook is the next one, always a native and usually a woman. At church suppers, pieces of her lemon meringue pie are taken from the serving tables before the main course dishes, just to be sure that they'll still be there. She can cook and manage a baked bean, roast beef, and hot roll supper for 200 people, served exactly on the announced time, every dish piping hot, and with bottomless cups of incredibly good coffee. You know, in marked contrast to the good cook, the good cook's husband is quite skinny. Next is the gossip, usually a native and always, due probably to stereotyped attitudes, a woman. Of course, every man and woman in town is, in varying degrees, a gossip. As Thornton Wilder once said, quote, in our town, we like to know the facts about everybody, unquote. But the gossip, either the general store owner's wife, the postmaster, the librarian, or at least someone with ready access to people on a day-to-day basis, is counted upon by everyone in town to either confirm or deny the latest rumors. She always confirms them and adds to them. Also, she is an unwitting tool for a few wily residents who use her to spread their version of certain common information. Now, the voice. The voice is either a townsperson or a summer person. The voice is usually a woman, but, you know, can be a man, too. The voice sings at every town occasion in which solo singing is called for. During the singing of hymns in church, the voice sings louder than everyone else and holds her notes a split second longer than everyone else does. The voice is a soprano, or, depending on sex, a tenor, and is quick to lead sing-alongs at parties, beginning with Moonlight Bay. The voice once choked during a church Christmas solo, and no one has ever mentioned the incident from that day to this. Finally, last but not least, that woman. Now, that woman may not be pretty in the classic sense, but there's something vaguely exotic and cheap about her appearance. She wears her hair long, uses elaborate facial makeup, and she elicits from each and every woman in town, be she a summer person or a townsperson, an instant and irrevocable hate on sight. Well, now, maybe next month I'll describe a few of the men in town that we all know.